Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I want to thank our last guest, Molly Butterworth, who may be driving and listening to us right now. She was fantastic. TheyWillRun.com is the name of her book. If you listen to it and you like to pick up the history of automobiles in the city of St. Louis, there's so many great stories to tell. Go check it out. Joining us this hour, a very special guest from KPLR, which is Channel 11, and also KTVI, which is Fox 2, Patrick Clark. I'm so glad you came in, too.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, I have fun when we have people in the studio. You are, how long have you lived in St. Louis now?
Almost 10 years.
This is on and off?
Yeah, yeah. This is the only city I've lived in twice.
Yeah. Why'd you leave and what brought you back?
I went to L.A. I did a couple shows. I worked for a video game network called G4 and hosted a show called Pulse. And it was kind of featurey, you know, slice of life, you know, long form entertainment on people who played video games in the entertainment world. Yeah.
Very popular video games anymore. And the top G4 really pushed the ball forward when it came to video games.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. And then you were working on that and some other projects.
Yeah, I did. I hosted a show called Offbeat America that aired on HGTV. And we traveled across the country, and it was crazy homes. It was interesting. People who lived in castles and cave homes, and the guy who built his own roller coaster. And
stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really unique and cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what brought you back to St. Louis then?
You know, I think the economy dropped in 2008. And like everywhere, you just try to find new opportunities and keep growing. And at the time, there was a show at in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. And it was in this we had a piano and bands. And it was kind of a morning show in the afternoon. And I like St. Louis. There's a lot. I love the history of this town. I love that you can drive and get to a place in a short amount of time.
Is anyone on time in California?
No.
It's not possible, is it?
Yeah.
So you were doing all these different really cool projects, and you get to meet some really unique people.
Yeah.
And there's some really awesome and unique things here in St. Louis I found and discovered. I've only lived here for 2.5 years. And there's so many cool little things that go on here, and I'm always impressed. And it's so easy when I have friends or family come into town to impress them, because you can take them to something and they're just blown away by all the stuff that's over here. It is so cool. HGTV and G4, working for a network like that, what's it like working for a major network as a talent?
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. How they treat you?
They treated you wonderfully. Yeah.
Yeah,
we would go in the field. We would be on the road for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And you would in that time, you would probably shoot 6 to 8 different stories. And so that you were working long, hard days, but it was so much fun. You know, you'd have a photographer and an audio guy and a hair and makeup person and a producer. And you're just like, wow, this is...
Whole entourage.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere you went.
Yeah, I just said, don't drop the football. So.
Are you still into video games at all?
I still play sometimes, yes.
Yeah?
I play a lot. Music is my hobby and my passion. So I haven't played as much video games as I did. And back then at G4...
Yeah, it's all-encompassing, you know?
Yes.
My son is 5, and he's a little bit into video games.
Yeah. What does he like?
He likes Super Mario.
So sure.
We have one on the Wii U, which is the older system. But there's a game that just came out on the computer called the Untitled Goose Game. He goes crazy for.
Yeah.
You're this little goose, and you go around harassing people in this small village. He thinks it's the funnest game.
Yeah.
It's just, you go around, and he laughs and laughs and laughs. But some of these games... There's ones where you have to memorize, you know, 50 button combinations, and there's some games where you just need one, and you walk around honking at people, and those are so much more fun to me.
Right.
So that, something like that.
Yeah.
So here in St. Louis, you came back and you started to do some really unique features, including the series you're working on now, which is the Presidential Libraries, which is really cool. What got you interested in that side of telling people stories?
I think, you know, my whole career has been telling stories, whether it was feature stories from back when I first started at Channel 11 years ago, mm-hmm. to video games related feature stories. Mm-hmm. They were still about a person. And the same thing with HGTV, with Offbeat America. It was about the house, but it was really about the people who lived there. And so I don't know. I started getting into thinking about history, and this was really kind of leading up to our last election. Mm-hmm. And I had gone to the Lincoln Library in Springfield.
Cool.
Have you been?
No, have not.
You have to go. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
I haven't been to any presidential libraries. That'd be a great first one to go to.
It's a great one to start. Yeah.
How long of a drive is it from here to Springfield?
2 hours or less.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Or less. Yeah.
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 So you go there,
yes.
and you start to realize, wow, this is really amazing. How come more people aren't talking about this?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing, you know, is we discover, you learn the history in the books that they teach us growing up. And then along the way, there's all that they don't teach you in a classroom. Mm-hmm. That you're like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And so I think as a journalist, my job was just to try and stick to the facts, stay away from any of the politics of any of these presidents. Mm-hmm. But as I discovered it, I was like, wow, these are pretty interesting. And so I would start to compile them, what I could drive to, mm-hmm. from St. Louis. So Lincoln's in Springfield, Hoover's in Iowa.
Oh, okay.
West Branch. And Truman over in Independence near Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I compiled enough that I had a half hour. Mm-hmm. And using a lot of the sleight of hand and tricks that, you know, that I learned along the way through Offbeat, I try to apply those to this. And thankfully, my boss has said, hey, we like this.
Yeah.
Do another one. And it's just been, I can't begin to tell you, it's been the most organic thing that's happened. It's been really interesting.
I think people love history here. You see a lot of people that spend a lot of time trying to preserve history, and I'm glad that is happening. And one of the reasons I'm glad it's happening is because there's so many things that have been forgotten over the years that get filed into a box somewhere, or just you have to discover some of these things. And the stories aren't shared from generation to generation. So something that our grandparents may have known is completely forgotten. And you have to rediscover these things, and you have to preserve them some way. And that's kind of what you're doing. You're preserving these things so other people could learn about them, and they'll have curiosity, and maybe they'll explore something else. And it really helps just society in general that we're doing these things that are out there. I love stories like this. I really do.
Well, and I've been lucky in that I've really stumbled upon this, mm-hmm. of finding a human element along the way. A relative, a great granddaughter, a granddaughter, a son, mm-hmm. Talk to a president, even a couple of them. And it's that has been really fascinating as we're going along and telling these stories. I went to the Reagan Library, mm-hmm. in
California,
Simi Valley. And among the many things that incredible things that happened that day was, I told the guy, I said, I have a memory of being a kid. And I said, I think I wrote him to Ronald Reagan. And he says, do you know how old you were? And I said, I don't know. And he says, it was after he was shot. I know that much. And he said, where'd you live? And I said, we were over near in Indiana, Illinois area. And, and so 10 minutes pass, and someone would walk along and he'd say, oh, this is our head of outreach. This is our head of education.
Yeah.
And not even, 10 minutes. And there's a woman standing there and she's holding my letter.
No way.
My letter that I wrote to Ronald Reagan in pencil. I still get goosebumps thinking about it.
I can't believe that.
And that told me what a presidential library is. Everything that gets sent to an administration is saved.
It's amazing. It is so amazing. I want to continue our conversation, and we're going to spend the whole hour talking about this. Patrick Clark joins us. He's with KPLR and Chats Channel 11, and also KTVI, which is Fox 2. A fantastic series. It's presidential libraries, museums, and more. And you got another one that's coming up on Monday at 4:30 on Channel 11, KPLR 11. We got a lot to talk about, history in general. We can talk about Indiana stuff, too, because I moved here from Indiana, which is pretty neat. So don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Radio's BS detector. Mark Reardon. Weekday afternoons at 2 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Very special guest in this hour. It's Patrick Clark.
He's Hello.
With Channel 11, KPLR, and also KTVI, which is Fox 2, and you do work for both. We're just talking about your presidential libraries, museums, and more, and you have the ninth special, which is going to be airing on Monday, 4:30 on Channel 11.
Yeah.
Half hour, and you have the time to really lay out some of the things that you discovered and learned when you go to these different special locations, which it has to be awesome, because in TV, they try to jam as much as they can in a short amount of time, but you get a half hour to tell the story, which is probably liberating and must feel pretty awesome that you get that much time to do it.
Yeah, it really is. Because, you know, if we turn a story every day.
Yeah.
I do. I that's how it works at our place. So trying to find the time to do these and or make the time. And it's been great in that they've given that time. But half the fun for me, I like, is finding the thread for the episode. You know, I'll collect stories along the way. There might be something like in this one. We've got a story when Maxine Waters came to town.
Okay.
And she had a very interesting inspirational speech. And we thought, you know, I think that can be a more that on our presidential libraries. You know, we definitely stop at a few for this episode, but it was like, I think that we can tack that in there. And that's fun to find that. Like this episode especially, I think Lincoln is the thread through most of it. And it didn't start out to be that way.
How do you find that sometimes, because this happens, it seems like it's pretty common, you have one objective or an idea of what you want to do, and then when you actually get there and you start to discover it, you become inspired to do something else. Like your mindset or your attention is directed in a different way and it's so fascinating how you can just discover things just by showing up and doing and talking to people.
Yeah.
That's like a life lesson right there, you know?
Right.
But that probably sounds like part of what you do is the curiosity that you may have will lead you in a direction. Once you get there, you start to learn some of these things that you had no idea would where it would take you.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Is half the time is just showing up and just talking. And people will come up to you sometimes. They'll see you standing there with the camera and, well, what are you doing? Or who are you with? What are you? And usually, you know, they'll have a little trepidation with, you know. And I said, I'm going to these presidential libraries and telling these stories. And then people will open up usually, you know.
How happy are they to see you show up?
I think they are very happy because I think, like anyone, they don't have much of a budget.
Yeah.
To get the airtime to promote what they have. And when you hear museum, even the show, when I had this idea, I was like, I think this is a show. I think this is a thing. It's a modern day road trip across America.
Yeah.
And each one is a slice of America in that era.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just
going slice of America. I like that. That sounds like an album, doesn't it? Slice of America.
Oh, that's very good. I like that.
I know you're a musician, so I'm going to write that down because that's a good title. But you come up with these things, and you get these slices of America, and you learn things that people just take for granted in certain areas. But you know, you might be able to drive a couple hours, learn a few things, hear people in St. Louis. It's hard to explain, but when I moved here, I start to discover all these little places and these awesome things that if I were to have stayed in Indiana, I never would have known anything about just how cool and historic a lot of these areas are. It's like that too. You can drive 2 hours up to Springfield. You never would have known these things. So you're bringing it back, introducing other people to it, and maybe their curiosity will drive them to learn more about Abraham Lincoln or any of these presidential libraries.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a Midwestern guy, so you know. That's, I think half of just talking to people and listening to them and telling their stories. You, back at your point where you're talking about showing up, when when I went to the Reagan Library, they were very excited. When I got there, they were like, hey, here's your parking spot. And they had my name on it. And they'd seen the episode. And they said, where's the old car that you're driving in the intro? I was like, wow, okay. And so I get there and they say, let's go and sit down because I want to give you the lay of the land. This is a big place. Mm-hmm. And I'd done my research ahead of time. So I kind of had my beats or what I thought would be the things we might cover. And I'd seen that, I think, when they had the debates and all the candidates, the Republicans were against the airplane was behind
them.
Yes,
the backdrop. And yeah. Yes, I remember that one.
And so going into it, I was like, okay, this is going to be the highlight. And cut to, we sit down and, hey, I had this letter and here they bring the letter. And so sort of like, okay, this has changed dramatically what I had in mind. And so then as the day, sometimes because I'm there, I know I've got the day. So sometimes it's just hanging out and just trying to see or formulate. And as we're standing there, this docent comes up and she said, oh, well, his son was here. And he said, what? And he said, yeah, Michael Reagan. Mm-hmm. And we turned the corner and there he is.
Yeah.
And he said, come talk to us.
And he said, isn't that something?
Yeah. And I said, I don't want you to talk. I'm not going to get into politics. I just want you to talk about your dad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I don't know. I could tell you we used to go horseback riding and we used to ride up to the ranch together. And he'd listen. He wanted the big band. If I heard Little Brown Jug one more time. and he says, I turned my dad on to the Beach Boys.
Wow.
And so then you start going down a rabbit hole and you find out when the Beach Boys played at the White House and the whole backstory behind that. And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. Patrick Clark joining us here with Channel 11, KPLR, and also Fox 2, which is KTVI. And we're talking about a series that you may have seen, Presidential Libraries, Museums, and More. Another big one coming up on Monday on Channel 11 at 4:30, the half-hour special. I love that he was just hanging out at his dad's library. That is so cool, isn't
it? Yeah, he said, I was just here to buy an ornament. I that was a habit that Nancy got me into of getting a new ornament every year at Christmas.
Aww.
And I'm like, that's the human element. So those stories, to be able to tell, well, here's why you should go see this, because here's the whole presidential motorcade with the limousine and the Air Force One and the motorcycles and the police car and his bar from Ireland that they shipped over here. And there's a fighter jet and it's a beautiful, majestic view over the, there in Simi Valley. You can see the ocean in the distance. They're buried there as well.
Mm. I don't know if television is as frugal, and that's a nice way of putting it, as radio. So do you plan vacations around this, or do they actually send you out to cover these things? Because California is a long way, and I'm assuming that there had to have been some budget for it. Or maybe you're doing this as more of a passion, so you get to work a vacation around it or something.
Well, usually it's okay, here's what I've scheduled it. Here's where we can drive to. I can stay with family
near of course.
Here. And we can get, this many stories. Here. And they'll say, okay. And I think we won our first Emmy a couple years ago for it.
Oh, so cool.
And I think that helped open the door. and now people know it or know we're coming. So I'll call and a presidential library and say, oh, yeah, we've heard. You've been down to Carter's. We've been waiting. And we're like, oh, good. That's great.
Waiting your turn. I know.
Yeah.
Have you met him, President Carter?
I did, yes.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. How many different presidents have you met?
Two.
Who's the other one?
Clinton.
So cool.
Yeah.
So we'll have to hear those stories coming up. We're going to have to go to break here for a moment. But and if people wanted to check this out online or maybe see some of the other work you've done, is there a good website location for that?
Oh, gosh. I would give probably KPLR11.com.
Yeah, just go straight to KPLR's website.
And you can find me there under there. There's like the people.
The people.
Yeah.
the people button.
Yeah.
Which would be another album title, the people button.
Yeah, Joe, our web guy is just cringing.
Patrick Clark, Channel 11, KPLR, also Fox 2, KTVI. And I want to talk more about these conversations you've had with presidents of the United States, which is pretty remarkable that you stumble across the son of Ronald Reagan and you have these great conversations, but then you get to actually talk to some presidents. How crazy and surreal that must feel to
it is.
Be in the presence where you can have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. So we're going to continue our conversation with Patrick Clark next. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
I want to welcome back our special guest this hour, Patrick Clark, with KPLR Channel 11, also Fox 2 here in town, St. Louis.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so cool. You said you would swing by the studio and hang out for an hour. That's so cool to me. Yeah. You do excellent work. And, you know, you, at the start of the show, you talked about some of your previous work, you know, with HGTV and the G4 network. You were in California working all these things. Yeah. Did you grow up in Indiana?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, over in Evansville, you said.
Yeah, Evansville, Vincennes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vincennes, really.
Yeah. When I moved here, I had to be educated because I came here from Indiana. I was working in Fort Wayne. And they said, oh, Hoosier means something different here.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Right.
What do you mean it means something? Then I found out it was derogatory.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm a proud Hoosier.
Yeah.
And
I don't understand the history or why it's used in that way. I don't get it. I like being a Hoosier, too. For those years I lived in Indiana, it was really nice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of your interactions with presidents of the United States. Who did you meet first, President Clinton or Carter?
I think Clinton, if I'm correct.
What was the context? Like, how did you meet him?
Well, he was in town. He was in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And he came through to for part of his Clinton initiative.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple schools that they were like checking their progress of what, you know, their fitness level was, what was their, you know, their diet, mm-hmm. What are their options? Are they in food deserts? And so I guess just checking on the progress of a few schools that take part in some of these. And so we followed them around all day long.
As presidents do, go to individual elementary schools St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I was in Indiana, I was there for the 2016 election, and Bill Clinton came in as a surrogate for Hillary. And when he came in, he had his speech time, but he skipped it because he had to get something to eat at some barbecue or hot dog place ahead of time and then decided to come in. It was like an hour later, whatever it was. But when he ever comes into town, he's probably doing those same things. He likes to go and sightsee a little bit.
Well, it was interesting as a young Cub reporter covering him years ago when he came through and was running for office, and then seeing him now as an elder statesman and whatnot, and still getting a pop from the crowd when he walks in this gymnasium. They start playing Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's back, you know, and very energetic, and the guy just kept going and going all day long. And, you know, there was a point where he was coming by us, mm-hmm. and I leaned forward and I said, "You want to say a few words, Mr. President?" And that opened the door, and he walked right up
just
to us.
Just like that.
Yeah.
How old were you?
Just a few years ago.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you were a young reporter. I was going to say, young reporters don't have the confidence to do something like that.
Yeah, no.
This is a few years back.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? Like, Secret Security stops me or something like that?
Well, I mean, we were kind of roped off. We were definitely separated. But close enough and it was long in the day, and we had followed them around all day long. And so I felt like they knew who we were,
right.
and we made ourselves known, and I think had passed that background check. and so he came over, and there was a scrum of us, you know, there was a reporter from 4 and from 5 and a couple other people around.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would be talking, but there was a moment I noticed he bumped my microphone. I thought, oh, okay, I better. Pulled my microphone back, and then he did it again, and then he did it, and he looked at me in the eyes, and I was like, "Oh, he's making a point to me."
Uh huh.
That's a trip.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary when you think about it. That type of interaction, like you better pay attention.
Right.
It put some emphasis on there. He was a very talented communicator. And
yes.
The one speech that I was there to see when he was doing the campaigning in 2016. Was a really good speaker. He's a great public speaker, a fantastic mm-hmm. public speaker. And I I wonder, too, of how the game works, because never in a million years would I ever have imagined that you can say, hey, Mr. President, do you want to say a few words? And then they would give you the time of day.
Never in a million years. Yeah, no. But he enjoys people. And that was the thing that day when he was here in St. Louis. We were all over, and he was at a school, and he was at a public garden. And he was supposed to go right down this way here into this where he, you know, but here's all these people over here by the bus that he went over to talk with, and he's shaking hands and taking pictures with, and
something else.
Yeah.
Very personal. When did you meet President Carter?
This was also, I think this was 2017. Mm-hmm. So they were both near, very close to one another when those happened. But that one, I went down to Carter's presidential center in Atlanta, Georgia. And I timed it around when they do the Peanut Festival in Plains.
Oh, you knew what you were doing.
And went down and experienced the Peanut Festival, which every American should do.
Was it awesome?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happens at a Peanut Festival? That's so great.
Mr. Peanut marches down Main Street.
Yeah.
And, there's a giant wagon full of peanuts they throw out.
They throw peanuts and shells out?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So instead of throwing candy out to the kids, they're throwing peanuts and shells out.
Yeah.
Are kids collecting them, or do they just stay on the ground?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
But they're having a good time.
Yes. It's a darn good time.
What else happens? Do they just throw peanuts at people?
There's like a race in the morning. They have different, 5K and whatnot. And President Carter awards, or at least he did that year, he awarded the medals.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And his son, Chip, had won in his division. He said, well, there's nobody in my division. I'm a 60 and over.
I don't know what you're competing in. So you said it's like just races?
Oh, they'll have like a race through town.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's just one side of it's one main street.
Yeah.
And just the one side. You don't get the other side.
So did you request time with President Carter, or did it just happen like with President Clinton?
Yes. No, I requested time, and that was turned down on multiple occasions.
So how did you get in front of him?
Well, he teaches his Bible study on Sunday mornings at Maranatha Baptist Church. And you got to get up early and hope that you get in that line. And we got in the church. I got in the church thanks to a few wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And he does like a sermon. You know, he speaks for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And he says, if you're willing to wait until the very end, he said, we'll take a picture with you. He said, I used to say it was an honor. Mm-hmm. Now I say it's a necessity.
So a picture goes into a few moments together.
It's a quick moment, and they'll say, hey, just no touching, just stand next to the president.
And Secret Service is still there with him.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Watching every moment like a hawk.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Were you there with a video camera or just a regular,
with my camera, yeah. And so kind of had to set it up and go get in the line and go through. And Jill Stuckey, who is a park ranger there at the Carter, at his high school.
Okay.
She says, oh, Patrick's been doing these presidential libraries, and they just won an Emmy. And Jimmy Carter says, well, where have you been? And I said, blanking. And I said, I went to Reagan's, and they found my letter. Not thinking really,
And he said, you tell President Carter, they found my letter to Reagan.
Yeah, yeah, stumbling
now
over my
Now, he defeated
words.
Him, though, you're right?
Yes, yes, yeah. And I said, well, I've also Lincoln's and Truman's and Eisenhower's and Ford's and Mrs. Carter said, which ones did you like the best? And I said, well, I liked yours a lot. I really enjoyed it. And then he looks up at me and he says, I have a submarine.
I have a submarine, bragging up a little bit. What do they have? Do they have a submarine? Because he's thinking about Ronald Reagan with the plane, the Air Force One or whatever out there. He's like, I got a submarine.
Yeah.
He's sizing it up a little bit. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, move along. All right.
That is so cool. Yeah. The presidential library there, was there anything that stood out as unique? compared to the other ones?
His in Atlanta is his Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, there are two. Atlanta has two. One just down the street is Dr. Martin Luther King.
How about that?
Yeah, so you can see that on display. And I think sometimes seeing these objects helps you, I don't know, helps tie it, make it real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can jump off on that topic, how it all started with Reagan's. Mm-hmm. A lot of these I shoot myself, and I don't claim to be a great photographer.
Yeah, videographer or something like
right.
that. Yeah.
But, you know, when you're shooting, when you're, you can zoom in and you can see things that you don't really see with the unaided eye. And at Lincoln's, on the top, there were two worn marks on the brim of the hat on top.
Hmm.
And so I kind of positioned myself around it to try and look up with the camera. And on the bottom, there was one underneath. Nowhere else was it worn on that hat.
Mm.
And that, to me, just struck me as if that is true and real, then that was a very thoughtful person who would always raise his hat. It's worn in the very same place. Not this, not raising it that way.
Wow, yeah.
So that,
it's amazing you can notice things like that. And there's a story behind it when you notice little things like that.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. I love it. I mean, I love stories like this. And I love that you take the moment to take the time to notice the little things, because things like that would have been forgotten forever. And I'm glad you're documenting these things.
Well,
it is
thank
so
you very
cool.
much.
Travel. Where do you keep your Emmy?
It's on the shelf.
At your house at work?
No, it's at the house. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine you won a Nobel Peace Prize, and wouldn't you want to have that somewhere in the house? He has it in his library. Look at that.
Right.
Out on display.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Carter has an Emmy.
He has an Emmy too?
He has an Emmy for spoken word for one of his books.
I want to say that's a recent thing, isn't it?
I think so.
Wow, that's good for him.
Yeah.
That's so hard to do any of that audio recording at his age, to do something like that's remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes several days to record those things. It's very time intensive, and it drains you. You had to take time away from building homes to read the audiobook.
Yeah.
And I haven't checked up on his health recently. There was that scare a couple of days ago. I hope he's doing all right.
I believe so. Yeah. I see updates from my friend, and she says he's back, and I believe he's supposed to preach or teach at his Sunday Bible school at Maranatha Baptist this Sunday.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some of your live music right after the break.
Sure.
And you have the Presidential Libraries, Museums, and More series, with the latest one, your ninth in the series, that's going to be airing this upcoming Monday, 4:30 on Channel 11. You do work with them, KPLR, and also Fox 2, KTVI, and Patrick Clark joining us in studio. Thank you so much for sticking around this hour. It's so
Thank
cool.
Thank you for having me.
On Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
Our very special guest, Patrick Clark, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter. So if people wanted to reach out to you and talk to you, how can they find you?
Patrick Clark TV on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, Patrick Clark TV.
What was the last photo you posted on Instagram?
I think I posted the arch. I was down at the arch grounds today with the granny and her grandson.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. They were doing the tour of all the different national parks. This was their last stop?
Yeah.
The granny. That was so cool to see that they were making a stop here and doing that. What a touching story.
Yeah.
The two of them doing that together.
Right.
So that's pretty neat. There's stories everywhere.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Many great stories.
You know, when I was doing Offbeat America, I used to listen to KMOX, and I could always feel like I was at home. Yeah, I would be in Virginia or Texas.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You perform in other ways, too. You're a musician?
Yes.
What do you play?
I play at it. I play guitar and piano. Yeah.
Guitar and piano.
Yeah.
Wow. Very talented.
My mom played piano as a kid.
Okay. When
I was a kid, my mom played piano.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of songs did she play? Was she like in the church?
She would do more like Burt Bacharach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Hammerstein.
You can find those albums at every Goodwill. Anytime I go through a Goodwill, I'll go through the albums.
Yeah.
Find those in there a lot. Yeah.
Carpenters. She would play some of that. Yeah. That's really fun.
I think that's great. What type of guitar do you play?
I have a couple. I have an Epiphone, like a hollow body jazz kind of guitar.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. And my acoustic is, it's a Bob Weir design.
Hmm.
And There was a company here in St. Louis that used to promote, or it's an Alvarez.
Okay.
And it's wonderful, wonderful guitar.
Bob Weir the Grateful Dead?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the exhibit they had at the Science Center, the guitar exhibit last year?
No, I missed it. Cool. Everyone told me, yes.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
They had some really unique guitars there, and then they had the world's largest playable guitar, so they had this giant, what looked like just on the ground that was shaped as a guitar, but they had these big metal strings that you could strum.
Could you really play? Yeah.
You know, it didn't really make much of a noise, but it was almost like if you were to go up to any type of like metal line of anything that was a little bit loose, you know, just kind of like a cat, you're just pawing around with it a little bit.
Yeah.
So you have some live performances coming up. Where are you going to be playing at?
I will be at Aries Resort, Aries Winery up in Grafton, Illinois, next weekend. Let's see. It is next weekend, Saturday the 16th, for the Whiskey Festival.
Do you play with anyone else?
Joe Bohack is a longtime friend and guitarist, singer-songwriter here in St. Louis. And it's fun because we played together in the 90s.
Cool.
And then we're playing together again now at a much later stage in our life and having a lot of fun. Yeah.
Did you learn how to play guitar and your first song was Smoke on the Water? I think that's like the intro song for everyone.
It's everyone who's ever learned.
Well, so what kind of music do you play?
I would call it Americana rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a kid. I grew up in the Midwest, so influenced by all that stuff.
Route 66, did you ever take family vacations and travel and just go on a drive? And it was so cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, going to Graceland, you know.
There's nothing greater when it comes to Americana, just going out for a drive and taking the family somewhere in the car.
Yeah.
The destination. There's a thing, my kid is into the Disney movie Cars, and they have this little mini documentary of the creators and why they decided to do it. It's because, you know, as a kid, his dad always used to take him up and down Route 66. And they didn't exactly know where they were going to go, but the vacation was the driving part. It wasn't necessarily where they ended up.
Yeah.
They loved that time in the car and just seeing all the sights and stopping by the side of the road places and things like that.
Yeah.
That's America. You've seen so many of those places, just the way you've documented things.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
No, I feel very lucky. Like I said, when I was at G4, when I was at HGTV with Offbeat America, and now with KPLR and KTVI with these presidential libraries going all across the country, I feel like I've seen this country through a multitude of decades, and it's interesting to see.
California's changed a lot over the years too.
Yeah.
It's I love convenience. I don't think I could ever live in like an LA or in those areas where it takes forever to get anywhere and there's no parking and everything costs about 10 times more than it should.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do that.
Yes. No, that's definitely a drawback. But I will say California is one of the most beautiful states. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you've got everything. You've got the mountains and the ocean and the desert and all within a few hours drive.
It's all right there. It's so large and it's a huge economy and there's so much that goes on out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, if people wanted to look you up on Facebook or Twitter, they can just search for your name and
Patrick Clark TV.
That's it, just Patrick Clark TV, and it's right there, and Instagram. And you can find pictures of the arch from today. It's like the last one. In your series, so how often do you normally put out new ones? Is it just based on when you can travel and record and film?
We try and do it quarterly. Yeah. So I try and keep that foot on the accelerator if I can, you know, and build stories, as you know, when you get them. When someone comes through, it's like, okay, that relates to what we're doing. So our next one after Monday will be for President's Day.
Yeah. Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Presidential libraries, museums, and more, which the 9th episode, which is going to air this upcoming Monday on Channel 11 at 4:30.
Yes.
4:30 to 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Do you watch it live when it's on?
Yeah. Well, I've done both. Usually I'm working, so I don't get to really see it. So I'll watch it ahead of time, kind of quality control. Brian, our photojournalist editor on the show, he'll give me a screener and say, you know, double check it.
Yeah. That is so cool.
It is fun to see it because something that started like a spark of an idea that, I had to talk the helicopter guy in. When you're flying back, can you shoot us driving across the Eads Bridge?
Yeah, that's right.
It can't cost anything.
Time it out for something like that.
Yeah, you're heading back to the hangar. Just turn the camera on.
Oh, that's so cool. It's amazing the things that you think about doing and then somehow they end up happening.
Do it. Just do it.
It is so cool. Patrick Clark, make sure to check out his big special that's coming up again, the 9th in the series for Presidential Libraries, Museums, and More on Channel 11, 4:30 this upcoming Monday. Thank you so much for coming
Thank you. This was so much fun.
This
was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.